Now, the federal government entered its 25th day of a partial shutdown, making it the longest period that hundreds of thousands of federal workers have been furloughed. A quick recap: for more than 3 weeks now, lawmakers have been in an impasse over the budget, over President Trump's call for more than $5 billion to fund construction of a new wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. Recent polling has shown that most Americans are now blaming President Trump for the ongoing shutdown, and that Republicans are more to blame than Democrats for its continuation. Karen Hoffman is Adjunct Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University and Associate Director of the Les Aspin Center. Karen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Karen, as you see it, what's been the impact of the shutdown so far?
Well, multiple impacts. I think, you know, you cited some of the poll data that suggests that there's a lot of blame going in the, you know, Trump's and the Republicans' direction. I think, though, that overall this isn't good for Congress as an institution either. And their approval ratings have been so far down all along, but I think that just this makes people distrust and just really not think that Congress can get things done, period, even, you know, with Democrats. So I think it hits both of them in the Congress.
And looking at the impacts, we're seeing things like now members of the U.S. Coast Guard not getting paid, concerns about people not showing up at air traffic or at TSA security checkpoints to work, longer lines there. Are we going to start to see stories like this that say, okay, this isn't just a distant impact that doesn't affect us?
Yes, absolutely. And I think some of that is already happening. So one of the things that has happened in our politics, and this has been going on for some time, but is that we tend to do the negotiating or, you know, trying to find the compromise in public with sound bites through the media. And that's a really hard way to find common ground. And I think what I've kind of been reading, though, is there are some folks in Congress who are very quietly starting to talk together, and they're not reporting what they're saying. And when that kind of thing happens, that leads me to believe that something might actually be moving forward. But when it's just played out with, you know, each side throwing out a soundbite to try to make the other side look bad, that nothing can come of that. I think the pressure that it is coming home to roost is prompting members of Congress on both sides to really see if they can try to find some common ground. But they're going to do it quietly.
Well, here's a roadblock to that, maybe, digging into this polling. Okay, a majority of people blame President Trump and Republicans for the shutdown. A really big majority of Democrats blame him. Switch over to Republicans, a majority of them blame Democrats. So who are they serving, I guess, the American public in general, and we want to compromise, or we don't want to betray our base that is backing us anyway?
That is a problem. However, And actually, frankly, I think that some members, Republican members of Congress, are probably not, I think they're probably a little frustrated at the corner that sort of Trump painted himself into, because a lot of times, you know, they disagree all the time and they work things out and compromise. But if you start out from a point where there's really no room, it makes their lives difficult. So you're right. I mean, it's so polarized on both sides. But as you pointed out, this is starting to affect people all over from every walk of life, you know, whatever their partisanship. And there's going to be some, they're going to be anxious to try to get something done. Now, the key is they're both going to have to say they got something. And I'm not sure what that looks like. But the Republicans are going to have to say they got something out of this. And so will the Democrats.
Talking to Karen Hoffman from Marquette University about the ongoing government shutdown and the prospects, if any, to end it. And let's follow up on that point, Karen. There's all the talk of the wall, a structure, concrete, steel, whatever. A lot of people at various points have said, I would support a package that includes some kind of physical barrier as part of security, more personnel, more searches of cars to try to get heroin coming through checkpoints. Like, there could be a border security package in theory, right, that both sides would agree on. Couldn't there?
Yes. But I think the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said is he's not willing to bring anything up in the Senate for a vote unless Trump has said he would vote for it. So I do believe that exactly what you say is possible in the Senate and in the House. I guess, you know, the question is, are they going to vote on something that they both agree on, or is it really, is it going to be sort of a stalemate until Trump says, yes, I will vote for that? However, as the pain grows deeper, as you say, there's going to be more pressure in Congress, and it's already being felt. Again, there have been really some quiet bipartisan conversations going on about trying to, I think, do exactly what you say, is how can we come up with something. And, of course, the president has to get something out of this. And I hope that, I don't know, he's in a tough spot because he's pretty much given an ultimatum, and it's hard to negotiate with that. But I do believe that even Republican members of Congress understand that this isn't good. So I think there are a lot of conversations going on, but it remains to be seen. But I think that that what you suggest is this overall border package is certainly something that quite a few of them could get on board on.
Related to what you were just saying, I saw a tweet from former Wisconsin Congressman Reed Ribble. I think this was earlier today, Republican. He was responding to a tweet about the shutdown and the lack of pay for Coast Guard personnel. But he said, this is astoundingly stupid and disrespectful. Mm-hmm. The government's inability to function is an international embarrassment. Reed Ribble goes on, the solution is for both chambers to allow votes on each other's remedy. If POTUS, the president of the United States, vetoes, go back to the drawing board and keep trying until it's right. So he says, this is one case, he says, don't do what Mitch McConnell is doing. Don't wait for the president to agree to something. Pass stuff and put it in the president's court. Is that something you could see happening, especially in the Senate?
I think as the pressure grows, I think, yes, I think it will. You know, as more and more people really just, I think most people do think this is just stupid and not the way to go about business. But, I mean, this is sort of a sign of the times, right? I heard another expert saying it's like the first, you know, when these shutdowns had started happening years ago, it was considered to be this awful, horrible thing, and they immediately, you know, went to work to stop it. And it seems like every time we do this, we let it go on longer. And I don't know where the point is, but we will reach a point, I think, where that will happen. And yes, I do think, now I think there will be conversation between the Senate leadership and the president before they bring it up to vote. But at some point, yes, they will, because, yeah, this is hurting lots of people. And really, frankly, no one wants this to continue. But the way it's being negotiated makes it really difficult to come to an agreement where both sides can say that they've gained something. They're sort of both at absolute position still, which is not, that government just never has worked like that. So it's going to have to change a little bit. But I do think that it's possible.
One twist on some past shutdowns is that some funding bills had already been passed and already been signed before we hit this point, so that we keep having to throw in the word partial federal government shutdown. Does that, the fact that at least some key, you know, most members of the military, except the Coast Guard, who are under Homeland Security, are getting paid, like a lot of things that, you know, people would not allow happen for too long, they're already paid for. Is that affecting the debate?
I believe so, yes, absolutely. If this was affecting our military more directly, and as you say, the Coast Guard, well, and just look at the reaction that is getting. Clearly, people think that's very important, too. That is absolutely part of this. And I know I've heard, I think that this is not going to be heard anymore, but for a little while, I have heard people saying, well, you know, most of the federal workers are Democrats anyway. Of course, providing no evidence of that. But there is a sense that, well, this isn't such a bad thing anyway. You know, the military's fine. You're right. But as time goes on, it becomes evident that there's a lot more, you know, it is hurting lots more people, and it's not just people of, you know, one type. So, but yeah, the partial thing, absolutely. They managed to pass some appropriations bills this time around, and so only part of the government is unfunded, and absolutely I think that that was used. But, you know, increasingly the stories we're hearing about how painful this is, I think, will get through.
We're talking to Karen Hoffman right now. She's an adjunct associate professor of political science at Marquette University and director, associate director of the Les Aspin Center, with us to talk about recent polls that have found that most Americans blame Republicans and President Trump for the ongoing shutdown. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you blame one side or the other for the shutdown, or do you blame the system as a whole? Should the president hold out for funding specifically for the border wall? If you have a compromise of some sort in mind, what would it look like for you? Call 800-642-1234. And if you are directly affected, if you or someone in your family, say, works for the Coast Guard or other federal agency that is seeing $0 paychecks, please do call in. 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about recent polls that blame President Trump and Republicans for the ongoing partial government shutdown, now the longest in U.S. history. Karen Hoffman is with us, adjunct associate professor of political science at Marquette University. And you at 800-642-1234, what are your thoughts on the ongoing shutdown? Is it affecting you yet? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now, Tom is with us in Cuba City. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I believe that this is on Donald Trump, that he knows that a border wall isn't going to affect anything. It's not quite possible, that he's fear-mongering and playing political points with his base that is largely afraid, afraid of immigration and, frankly, I believe a racist base. If he truly wanted this wall, how come it hasn't happened in the first 2 years when both houses of Congress were Republican?
Tom, thanks for the call. Karen, this is a point Democrats certainly raising. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he get it done over the last 2 years?
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, he could have. But I think that one of the things that will become, I mean, I think it's already known to be true, but become more clear, is that there are a number of Republicans who believe in border security, but also don't believe that, you know, this barrier, physical barrier all the way is the way to do it. So I think that there wasn't a whole lot of appetite for that even before, although border security is very important. But, and you're right, he is, you know, this was a big campaign promise, right? Now, I think, though, that by giving an ultimatum, though, that generally isn't a good way to start sort of negotiations, right? I mean, it's an ultimatum. So I feel like, you know, the progress has really been sort of halted, because if he's just going to dig in, then the way our government usually works is there's give and take. And so I think some of that just has to start happening before we get anywhere.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We'll go now to Cole in Sun Prairie. Cole, hello.
Hi. Wanted to just share my thoughts on the wall. And, you know, personally, the story and the shutdown affects me because my father-in-law is an FDA food inspector. So he missed his first paycheck last week. And it's troublesome because people like him, and in particular, his situation is that he's fighting brain cancer and has very expensive treatments that he has to pay for. And, you know, without these paychecks, if that goes on long enough, it's going to make it very difficult to pay for health insurance and mortgage and everything else. And it's upsetting because of the fact that this whole wall is, this debate is based on a false premise of the national security emergency. So why were even toying with the idea of compromising over something that doesn't even legitimately exist is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And if anything, Wisconsin constituents should be calling Ron Johnson, you know, Senator Ron Johnson, and day in, day out, and telling him that he needs to force McConnell to bring a vote to the floor. And if that's not the case, then he needs to work with Republican colleagues in the Senate to put somebody else as a majority leader who will bring these to a vote.
Cole, thanks for the call. Best mm-hmm. to your father-in-law as he goes through the treatment for brain cancer. The prospects, Karen, I want to start with his last point there, the idea that Republican senators might revolt, mm-hmm. in effect, against Mitch McConnell. How likely do you see that?
Well, I think that what they'll do first is try to convince him, you know, that this is bad for them, this is bad for the country, this is bad for all kinds of people, and so, you know, he should move on this. So, it would have to get really bad for them to revolt against him, but certainly I think there are a lot of Republicans in Congress who would love to vote on something. And so, yes, I think that, you know, how that all transpires, but it's just really sad at how, you know, I mean, even missing one paycheck can be a huge blow, even without an illness, which is even worse then. And I think that those stories are going to be starting to come out loud and clear, and I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on them in the Senate.
Cole, thanks for the call. And another point Cole raised, not just the impact on his father-in-law, but the job his father-in-law does,
right.
FDA food inspecting. Is that something that people are worried about if food inspectors aren't on the job in the numbers they usually are?
Well, you'd think that they would be. In fact, and I know that there are so many other jobs and tasks that aren't in the headlines the way the Coast Guard is, that it's really just kind of devastating. I know that some of the Head Start child care facilities are going to start running out of money. And, you know, what even the people who have jobs, what are they going to do when they have nowhere, you know, will they be able to go to work anyway? So this is really rippling through a lot of places. So I think the pressure will grow. And, I think something will happen. It's just, you know, this is a trend of our times, though. It used to be that they would go behind closed doors and say things, and there were no ultimatums because you could always, you know, you weren't held to what you were saying, and they would kind of work things out. And when we try to work things out in the public sphere, it's a lot harder.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Karen Hoffman from Marquette University, looking at the partial government shutdown, public opinion, and the prospects for compromise. Back to your calls now. John is with us in New Glarus. John, hi.
Hello. Well, thanks for taking my call. Thankfully, at least in this particular time, I haven't personally felt the effect of the government shutdown. But my point ultimately in discussing kind of our Congress and how they act is our school system requires a certain grade in order to pass. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, that's at least above 70%. But our Constitution requires 2/3 of a majority in order to pass a bill that would be veto-proof, obviously, both in the House and the Senate. It seems to me, based on that in context, that it's pretty terrible, not a great expectation, ultimately, to only ask our Congress to essentially pass legislation that, in other contexts, would be considered to be failing.
That's an interesting point, yeah.
John, thanks for the call. And actually, that reminds me, people, you mentioned the low opinion of Congress, and it's out there, and it's true, and a very high, even after a big flip in congressional seats, pretty strong performances by incumbents. People hate the Congress, love their congressperson.
Yep. Well, and that's part of the problem with this negotiation on this kind of issue, because you know, there are some members who might themselves want to move on something, you know, some kind of compromise. But if their constituents are lighting up the phones and emails saying, no, we want you to stay where you are, it's a dilemma. And, you know, as I think, Rob, as you pointed out, if you look at the data on both sides, there are strong feelings on the Democratic side against this, but strong feelings on the Republican side for it. And there's a reason that the Founding Fathers set up this system with checks and balances, and sometimes it doesn't sound like such a good idea, you know, when we can't get anything done. But the idea really was, and to talk about the failing grade for anything, you know, less than 70, is they really thought, though, that if you could get a president, a Senate, and a House to agree to something, not that it would be great, but it couldn't be that terrible. Now, that may be a very low bar, as the caller points out, but I think to some extent they thought, well, we aren't going to really it will be not that bad. Now, unfortunately, we seem to, again, sometimes this is the constituents' fault, and then we blame it on Congress. But if their voters are insisting that they stay the way they are, I mean, I think sometimes it's also the voters' fault for, you know, not looking at the big picture either. But Congress will take the brunt of it, as always.
Briefly, as you wrap up, Karen, do you think both sides or either side are looking at this and also looking over their shoulder at election 2020 and figuring out how this all plays into it?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, I know it's even hard for us to believe in our lifetimes, but once campaigns were over and elections happened, there really was a distinction between the whole governing process. Not that people didn't act political, but we are in the era of a permanent campaign, so absolutely everyone is thinking about that. And, of course, that can also be a problem.
Karen, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Bye.
Karen Hoffman is Adjunct Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University and Associate Director of the Les Aspin Center, joined us for a look at the ongoing partial federal government shutdown.